Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
My name is Annika Hall, and I am going to be teaching the Preparation, Purpose, and Peace, a Homeschooler's Guide to College and Life class today as part of the LDSCG conference. I'm really excited about this because this is something that I actually do for work on a college campus as a student, as well as just things that I've been able to study and grow into myself. I love the ideas behind goal setting and working together with other people to be able to accomplish our dreams. And one of my very favorite things is to inspire other people in accomplishing and figuring out what their dreams actually are. So I actually work as a mentor, and in my bio, it says that I am the director. I was last semester. This semester, I get to be the program assistant. So similar role, similar job. I work with students that are just starting out with college. So we get to inspire them with things that they might need along their way before it becomes a problem. And we also help people who have gotten to the point where they might not graduate because they don't have these skills and they have gotten far enough that it's just not going to work anymore if they don't have some help. That being said, all of these things I wish I could share with the entire student body because it's something that's, they're tools that everybody can benefit from, and not just as an adult as well. They're things that many people have written books about. And they just bless your life if you're willing to put the effort in and remember the reasons why you want to do things. So we'll start off with the first idea presented in my title of preparation. So what I'd like for everyone to do is to think of some things that you want to do, maybe a goal or a dream that you have, whether it's going to college or wanting to learn how to play the piano or literally anything you want to do. Think back to Tangled. I don't know how many people have watched the movie or not, but the song where she's in the tavern with the rough and tough guys singing about their dreams, she wants to go see the floating lights. And each one of them also has dreams and things that they like to do. Today, we're going to focus in on some of those things and help figure out how you can actually achieve that. So some of the questions to think about once you have that in your mind is, what resources will you need to accomplish that? And what training is required to get where you want to be? Like, do you need a teacher to teach you piano? Do you need to know more about the college campus or university campus that you're looking at going to? What will be required to get there? Do you need a transcript? I know there's a class that's going to be talking about that as part of this conference. Do you need somebody to cheer you on or an accountability partner? Whatever it is, find out what the different components are to accomplish it and then get started on it. So just out of curiosity, and you can raise your hand or just unmute and tell me, what are some of your dreams? What are some things that you would do if you could? Okay, Cassie wants to serve a mission someday. So missions are on people's future plans and dreams. Traveling. living in the country.
So you can stargaze every night. That's awesome.
Learning a new language. Those are all really, really cool things. I know I've learned Spanish. I'm still learning Spanish at the college level. And it's definitely an interesting experience. And I definitely have to have some of these skills that we'll talk about today. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't get very far. It takes some dedication. Kimberly wants to be a midwife. That's a wonderful thing. So today, we're going to talk about how you're going to actually accomplish that. More than just thinking, oh, someday I want to do this. But what can you do today to help you get to that point? Obviously, you need to research it. You need to know what you need to do. But let's get some steps to get to that point. So I put on my little handout, and I'll have it up here, but also I'd love it if you guys could write it down on yours or type it in, whatever format you have. I found that the more I take notes in class, even if the professor in my class is saying, don't worry about taking notes, there's a lot on these slides that they're sharing, and they'll post it so that we can go look at it again later. I know that if I take notes during class and pay attention, it's going to benefit me a lot better later. So I formatted this in a way that you can take notes throughout, and I hope you will do that. But I also have it up on the screen share. Can everybody see that? Okay. So what I'd like for you to think of is one very small step that's going to get you closer to what you want to do. If you want to serve a mission, maybe starting to study preaching gospel would be a helpful thing. If you want to learn to be a midwife, maybe figuring out where a good program is that you could go to would be awesome. Learning a language, pick which language you want and then find a resource that might be able to help you with that. Maybe make some friends with somebody who speaks the language you want to learn. If you want to live in the country, I don't know where you could take that, but start with something small, something easy that you can do, but make it a goal. And then today I actually, for work, I work with students and we set goals. And then we check in every week for about a month just to see how they're doing, to troubleshoot some things. And we use the acronym SMART. I don't know if you've heard of it before. Today, because I'm focusing more on the preparation, the purpose, and the peace of being a successful person, I'm going to change the acronym for the acronym PEACE, because then it adds to that opportunity to kind of keep that in mind in the back of your head as well. So we'll do this. And each one of these has a word that goes with it, like typical acronyms do, and a whole bunch of questions that you can answer as you're thinking about this goal that you want to accomplish. And these will help you kind of guide the direction that you're going to take it so that you can actually accomplish this goal. The first one is purpose. And the questions that you can ask and should think about at this point is it focused? Does it have a very specific thing that you can do to accomplish it? So in this case, I'm going to say, my goal is to learn how to play the piano. and it's pretty focused, but something that I know that I have as a resource is my husband plays the piano, and I also have a piano right here behind me. So I have a lot of things that's going to make it a lot easier for me. And then the other question with purpose is, what is my reasoning for learning to play the piano or preparing to go on a mission? For me, it's because my entire in-laws family is incredibly musically talented. And I know also that my husband's going to enjoy helping me learn. So it's going to be an enjoyable experience for me and my husband. as well as my extended family in the future. Then E, the first E, is expand. And this one's kind of the fun one. It's really simple, but it's something to keep in mind. And the question is, how will it help me grow? For me, learning to play the piano is definitely going to be a growing experience. I have tried before in the past, and we've moved, or our teachers moved, and I've just never really stuck with it. But now I'm in a place where I am learning consistently in general, and making sure that I do my homework of practicing is easier to fit into my schedule. So it will help me grow in, well, I'm learning a new skill, and it will help with my musical ability. I'll be able to sing notes better if I know what note it's actually supposed to sound like. So that's how it will help me grow. A is achievement. But this is to help you kind of focus in and see when exactly it's going to be that you can say you've achieved this goal. When will you know that you have accomplished it? And how will you know that you did it well? In my case, I don't know how long it's going to take me to really learn how to play the piano. So I'm going to say I will do my best to accomplish what I can to finish the first book of the first piano learning book that we have. And then I'll know that I did it well when I can play it in front of my in-laws and not feel like a fool. That I feel like will be a good test to see when I can do it. And there's usually a family reunion in the summer, so I'm going to put that as my deadline. It gives me a few months to get there, and I think that's probably a good timing so that I don't lose interest in this goal as well. So add some kind of time constraint and some way of measuring that you've actually accomplished it. Okay. C is choice. And this one's important because it helps you realize, you know, you're making this decision. You're choosing to set this goal and you have a reason for it. You don't make a choice without a reason behind it. And so the questions that go with this is focused really on that is how can I remind myself that I chose this? What is the reasoning behind it that's getting you excited about doing it now? And when things get hard, you can always ask that question and be like, why was it that I decided to do this? When I don't want to practice piano, I can go back and say, I chose to do this because I thought it was going to be a good experience. I want to learn how because I feel like it's going to help me be a better person. And I feel like it's going to be a way that I can connect with my in-laws in a really neat way. So the other question to go with that is what might I have to choose not to do instead along the way? So things like troubleshoot it. What are the things that might get in your way? For me, I might not want to practice the piano. I might not want to, sit down every day and take the time to do it. But I can go back to that first question of how can I remind myself that I chose this? And remember that there's a reason why. So I might have to say no to hanging out or playing on my phone or scrolling through Facebook. I might have to say no to spending more time on another project that I have, but it's worth it because this is a goal that I'm setting and it's something that I'm saying I want to do. So I'm going to put that I might need to say no to scrolling through Facebook. I don't do it very much, but it's still something that happens sometimes when I might not want to do something else. So, and then the last one is something that You should answer now as you're setting the goal, but also throughout the process. It's more than just something that you can think about once. This is where you kind of go back through the whole acronym of PEACE and think about your goal a little bit more. And the questions for this are, why am I excited about doing this now? And how is this experience going to change me? And how is this experience changing me currently as you go through the whole goal? And then also at checkpoints throughout this time, you should think about things like, what was I expecting to experience? And is this what I was thinking it would be? So why am I excited now? How is it changing me? And is this what I expected? So just any thoughts on this so far?
May I chime in?
Of course.
Sorry, I can't use the right hand feature as the host, but I really like how you use the acronym PEACE for this and have all these reflection questions. It reminds me a little bit of the SMART goals. Like, I can see some of the similar things happening there. And also reminds me of the Children and Youth Program, where they have the children kind of also have these same reflective type questions. And I think it's important for us to reflect and really make sure that we're doing what we want to do for the right reasons and all of that.
For sure. Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts? Anyone really excited about accomplishing their goal? I hope so. One thing that I would suggest with these is have an accountability partner. Have somebody that is willing to be there when you need somebody to talk you back into doing it, or somebody that can be as excited about it as you. For me, it's going to be easy because I'm going to ask my husband to teach me piano. And if he's there helping, then I can definitely have that opportunity of having him as an accountability partner. As a mentor on campus, that is literally my role. I don't set the goals for the students that I meet with, but I'm definitely there to be their biggest cheerleader. I met with a student who had set goals in the past and knew that that's what was going to get her out of where she was at. And I'll talk about her a little bit more as we talk about this little confidence box up here. But she was just super inspiring to me in her story. So she started out with kind of a disaster to deal with. She wasn't feeling great physically. She wasn't taking care of herself very much at all. Her grades were suffering really bad. And she just kind of didn't know where to go with it. She didn't know what to do. And so she decided to reach out and meet with me. And so we sat down, and one of the very first things I do with every student I meet with is this confidence assessment. So I'll kind of briefly describe each area. And what I'd like for you to do with your little box is to fill it out for yourself right now. And this will be a good guide for some of the goals that you can set that might help you get where you want to go in general or in particular. So first of all is academic ability. For a college student, it makes sense because you're going to be academically learning a lot. For a regular person, this would just be your desire to learn, your confidence in your ability to pick up a book and understand what was going on, or to be able to actually apply it to yourself. And this conference, it's a great opportunity because we're here learning. We have the opportunity to do that. And this box is really to put on a scale of 1 to 10. Where your confidence is in your ability to learn, your desire to learn. One being like you have absolutely no desire, or you're kind of confused and aren't sure what's going on in your life in that area. 10 would be like you're constantly on the lookout for opportunities to learn and you're capable of it. You can see where you might have a gap and you're willing to try and fill that. Financial wellness is focused on finances, obviously. As a new college student, I had an idea of how to manage my money, but I wasn't very good at it. And I know people who ended up with like $2 in their bank account for them, because you obviously still need food and things like that, and paying rent is important. So knowing how to handle that is a really important thing to know how to do. Mental health or mental wellness, emotional wellness, is being aware of what stresses you out, knowing whether you have a mental illness that you deal with, and if you have the resources for it, whether that's a counselor or medication or just having friends that you can reach out to who know about it. Spiritual wellness deals mostly in a gospel sense with our relationship with God, but it also can just be our connection to ourselves as a spiritual being, as our ability to recognize that we are children of God, that we have a divine nature, and that we recognize that and we're actively taking care of ourselves spiritually. Social wellness goes for an introvert and an extrovert just the same. This does not mean you have to be the life of the party every time you go and you spend all your time with your friends. This includes a lot of just knowing where your boundaries are and taking time for yourself if you are an introvert, but making sure that you're not isolating, making sure that you're not afraid or uncomfortable talking to new people and making friends. When COVID hit, we went to Zoom as a university, and as a mentor, I saw it very prevalent that students were not leaving their apartments. They weren't even talking to their roommates in some cases. They had absolutely no social outlet, and it was causing a lot of mental health issues. And so we, as mentors and as part of student support, and I know this happened on a lot of other university campuses as well, that we tried to do social activities that people would be able to come to and safe to come to, and just get them out of the apartment so they're not studying by themselves all day long every day. So make sure that you have friends that you can video call or FaceTime or hang out with because you're in the same geographical location. Just have people you can be with. Physical wellness is more than just going to the gym. And I always have to explain this because I meet with guys who are like gym goers all the time, and they're like, ah, yeah, I got this one. We're good. 100% 10 on that. 11 and 12 if you need it. And I'm like, no. That's not the whole of it. Exercise is great. It's important. And you need to know how to do it and that it's important to do regularly. But this also includes eating a healthy diet. And some of these guys are eating at Taco Bell every day and it just doesn't work. And getting enough sleep. For those who are about to be college students and for parents who are about to have college students, so that you are aware, students at universities have an average of 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night. This is not a good thing. It is possible to get through college that way, but it's not the happiest way to get through college. I speak from experience, unfortunately. I was an early morning custodian, and my roommates were night owls. So I had very long days and very short nights. However, I recognized then and treasure now the opportunity to get more sleep than that. Because according to the National Sleep Association, people ages 17 to 25 should be getting about 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night. And that's college age students. So big difference in the average numbers, but knowing how to block out time for that and make sure that you protect that time is very important. And it definitely changes how you view your physical wellness. And obviously that goes for adults as well. Getting enough sleep and protecting that time is essential. And then the last one that we talk about in this assessment is time management. And this doesn't mean that you know that you have an appointment at 6 p.m. on such and such day, and that you have, you know, things that you have to do every morning before you go to work or before you start your school day. This means that you know what's important and you prioritize things that are going to get you the furthest in the future. With the students that I meet with, I talk about making sure that they prioritize their homework over their social life, but not so much that they don't have a social life, because that's still important. I think in a lot of these things, there is extremes. Not enough sleep, not enough good stuff to eat, not enough friend time, not enough time spent on homework, or too much time spent in those things. You have to find a balance, and each person's different, which is why I would suggest to anybody who is going to college or anybody who is about to change their lifestyle in a new way, move, start a new goal, that you need to make sure that there's a balance in things, and you need to practice before you get there to know what it's going to be like and how you can discipline yourself to say no to things that are going to be a detriment to that area. So could I have somebody read this quote by President Ballard about goal setting?
I am so thoroughly convinced that if we don't set goals in our life and learn how to master the techniques of living to reach our goals, we can reach a ripe old age and look back on our life only to see that we reached but a small part of our full potential. When one learns to master the principles of setting a goal, he will then be able to make a great difference in the results he attains in this life.
Any thoughts on that?
I have a thought. This, I don't even remember where I heard this, but I've heard the phrase, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I feel like it's kind of the same idea there. It's so important to make a plan, or else it's just going to roll with the flow and it may or may not take you where you want to go.
Very true. And I have definitely found that many, many times. To go back to that girl that I met with that was in a really tough place at the beginning of our time meeting together, she said that her room was a disaster. She'd never put anything away. She had laundry everywhere. She couldn't study very well. She didn't want to study, actually, but she knew she needed to. She wasn't eating barely anything at all. She didn't reach out to any of her friends. She was really struggling to show up to work and just was in a really sad place, but she had hope and she had a reason that she wanted to meet with me. And it was because she knew that she had a potential to fulfill and she had some ideas of what she wanted to do for a goal, but she needed somebody to help cheer her on. And I'll tell you now, at the beginning, the first time I met with her, we did the confidence assessment up here. And she was ones and twos across the board. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know what she was supposed to be doing. She had absolutely nothing going for her except for meeting with me. And that's what she clung to. And we talked about her potential. We talked about what she wanted to do. And over the course of a month, it was just 4 weeks that we met. And by the end of it, because we talked about her potential, we talked about the goals that she wanted to set and she wanted to become better, she actually was eights and nines by the time we were done. She improved incredibly. Her room was clean. She was eating 3 square meals a day. She actually started going to the gym. She loved her job again. And she was just glowing and happy by the end of it. And the first time we met, she was crying and was like, I just don't know what to do. So it was really, really cool to see her grow so fast and so be so excited about it. I love that Elder President Ballard says that we can reach a ripe old age and look back just to see that we didn't even accomplish a little bit of our full potential. So the next part of what I'll talk about today is our purpose. And kind of going with that, I want you to envision yourselves at the end of whatever goal it was that you set. Say you wanted to be a missionary. Picture yourself as a missionary. And I want you to use this space on my handout to write down what you would want to tell yourself from that position to today. So like you're writing a letter to yourself as a missionary, as me as a piano player, whatever it is that you want to do. Kimberly, I think it was you that said you wanted to be a midwife. Put yourself in that place. Think of yourself in that role that you want to be and write yourself a letter back. Say, I'm so glad that you stuck to it. I'm so glad, Annika, that you practiced every day because now I can play. And it was really neat to play in front with friends and people. And just kind of take a minute for that. And we'll come back in just a minute. Or two. All right. Be finishing up. I love to do this. I love to write myself letters from future points of view and then read them later and be like, oh my goodness, I did so well. And I actually did accomplish what I wanted to. For example, I did serve a mission. I had a wonderful, wonderful time in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I had a wonderful trainer, and she had me write a letter to myself to read on the plane ride going home. And I tell you, she warned me that I would cry when I read it, and I did. But it was really neat to see how I had lived up to what I had wanted to accomplish as a missionary. And I've done the same thing many times. Often I'll write something in my journal, something like this at the beginning of a semester and say, you're taking this, this, and this class. I want you to learn this, this, and this thing. And usually it's not related to what remembering that there's more to the tasks that we accomplish and with life than just going through the motions. Some of the students that I meet with as a mentor, it's the saddest ones are the ones where they have no desire to be there. They have absolutely no motivation. They don't remember why they came or what was important at the time. And they don't let me help them because I can't help somebody that doesn't have the desire in them in the first place. To set a goal, you have to have that motivation, the discipline to accomplish it. And it's not easy, but it's definitely something that gives you a satisfaction that is incomparable to anything else. And then there's the people who are inspiring to me too. I went to a mentor meeting yesterday, and one of the mentors is 17 and a senior in college. And he determined when he was 15 years old, well, I guess he graduated high school when he was 15 with a couple of college credits, but he decided when he was young that he wanted to be a doctor and he wanted to get through his education as fast as possible so that he could do that. And he actually expressed also in this meeting that he was doing a job for the money for the summer so that he could see if it was the money of being a doctor that would be the motivating factor, or if it was his desire to help people that was the motivating factor. And that was really neat to me that he is only 17. He's about to graduate. He's really excited about this goal that he has to accomplish, but he wants to make sure that he's doing it for the right reasons. And that was really neat to me. The last thing that I'd like to do it with that purpose, that mission statement, that note that you just wrote to yourself from the future back to now, pick the overarching theme of what you wrote about. Maybe it's a characteristic that you want to develop. Maybe it's something about that role that you want to know. Maybe it's just that you feel like being determined to accomplish that goal is going to be the biggest help. Whatever that is, make that your, cheerleading chant. Make it your thing to get excited about, to remind you whenever things go hard. That this is worth it. This is definitely going to help you in the long run. And then lastly, we'll talk about peace again. The outcomes, the motivation, and then some reminders. Remember what it is that you want to accomplish. Remember where it is that you're going. If you're preparing for college, no surprise, but it's going to be hard. And it's going to be a learning curve. One of my favorite questions to ask all the new students that we meet with their first semester is, what's new that you weren't expecting? What's harder than you were expecting? What was easier than you were thinking it would be? And I've gotten answers from everything from being laundry was the hardest thing to do to this chemistry class or the psychology class that everybody is struggling with. Or the easiest thing being making friends to the homework. Some people find that the homework that they're doing is even easier. But you have to remember where you're coming from and take stock of that and not compare yourself to other people along the way. Like, as I'm learning the piano, I can't compare myself to my husband because he's been playing since he was little. And he has, you know, the influence of his entire family playing as well that I haven't really had my whole life. So what are some things that get you guys excited about your goals? You can throw it in the chat. You can raise your hand and unmute.
I have to mute there again. So I actually heard, this was from a doctor actually that had said this, but from when I first heard it, and I oftentimes reflect on it, but he said, you have to choose your hard. And what he meant by that was like, you can choose to do the hard work now of eating right and getting enough sleep and exercising, or if you choose not to do that now, you're essentially choosing the hard of going to physical therapy and taking pills and having surgery or whatever. So it's like, choose your hard. Would you rather do the hard work now of taking care of yourself now, or would you rather do the hard work later of taking yourself later when it's maybe even harder then? So I really, that phrase, choose your own hard, like really stuck with me.
Yeah. That's definitely been something that's motivated me as well. I choose the hard thing of doing my homework now so that I don't have to do the hard thing later and study extra before I have to take an exam or something like that. Nicole, the question was, what are some things that motivate you to accomplish what you dream of doing?
Adeline has a comment in the chat too.
Yeah, learning new things. I also feel really awesome when I accomplish things that are hard. That's so true. And then Tina, you have your hand raised?
Yeah. Helps me is to keep in mind not only goals, but also like habits, the development of habits rather than just goals. I really love the conference talk about being 1% better. And the story that he shares about the British cycling team comes from a book called Atomic Habits, which talks about that same idea of just like being a little bit better every day or every month, every week. And he talks a lot in that book about the development of habits that drive us to become the person we want to be, not just to accomplish the thing that we want to be. He says goals are so fantastic for like setting our sights on that thing that we want to do. But it's the habits that get us there and then that carry us on in good behavior even after the attainment of the goal. So I really like that perspective.
For sure. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's definitely a helpful theme. Nicole, you have your hand raised?
So when you were talking about the letter, writing yourself a letter, I realized that in keeping a journal, I've sort of done that, but not, I haven't been mindful of it. And so just by you mentioning that, it now I'm like, I want to be more mindful of that and more direct and purposeful for writing a letter to myself. Because when I go back in my journals and I read things that I wrote months or years ago, and I'm like, oh, I said I wanted to accomplish this and I did. And it's like a surprise. You know, I wasn't being intentional about it. And so now I think I will incorporate this to write a letter to myself specifically so that I'm being mindful of this goal that I'm trying to achieve and not just kind of achieving it kind of randomly. I mean, I know that I'm working towards something, but this will help me to be more focused.
Yeah, that's what I've definitely found along the way as well. That's one of the reasons why I included it, because it definitely does help. And most of my letters to myself are in my journal as well. So that's cool that you're going to do that and that you have been doing that. It's really neat. Any others?
You know, you got me to thinking, because a couple of years ago, your grandmother and I bought our headstone. And on that headstone, two very prominent things happen: your birth date and your death date. And I've read before about the space between the birth date and the death date. It's either a space or a dash. And I remember now reading the story, what's in your dash? And having written a few resumes over my life, I always remember now, in hindsight, how much better I felt with each resume that I wrote, how much better I felt about myself. And now you've got me to thinking about my dash on that headstone. Do I want to end it with a comma or an exclamation mark? Or a question mark? I've still got a few years left, and so I gotta make some plans. I gotta make some choices.
Yeah,
and I appreciate it. Thank you.
For sure. And kind of along that thought, a lot of my classes. So I'm a marriage and family major, and a lot of what we talk about is, you know, how can we be the best people that we can be, so that in our families we've got the best that we can have. And it's a lot of introspective and like thinking, you know, about our past and where we've come from and what we've done and how we've grown and what our lives look like, kind of like you were talking about. But very frequently in those classes, they start the class by having us write our own eulogy, which is a really interesting way of doing it, but it really makes you think, like, what do I want to be known for? What legacy am I going to be leaving? Was I somebody that everybody knew would be there to help? Was I somebody that people could count on? Was I a person of integrity? Did I have good qualities about myself? Or was I somebody that nobody wanted to talk about or faded into the background? Like, who do I want to be? And how do I want people to remember me? I have a couple of quotes. Can I have a couple volunteers to read those? Okay, go ahead, Nicole. You can read the first one.
When performance is measured, performance improves. When performance is measured and reported, the rate of improvement accelerates.
How have you seen that in your lives? Go ahead, Nicole.
I think there's a measure of accountability here for myself, that when I have to report to someone else or myself, it is an added motivation. And so and maybe it just is my personality, but I'm competitive even with myself. And so if I see that I've started something and it's months and months drawn out or years, then I immediately want to like, okay, we've just got to get this done. And so, but if I'm not recording it, if I'm not measuring it, if I don't, it actually bothers me when I don't write down when I started something. So that's for me is a motivator, is to measure it and report it. And when I don't, I just kind of am floating. I'm not really moving forward.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm similar. For me a lot, I get so, there's so much going on that if I'm not writing it down, a lot of times I'm thinking reporting for me is making sure I'm recording it and writing to myself and remembering, because I get so distracted with life and my children that I forget. And so any progress that I've made kind of, as Nicole was saying earlier, I'll open my journal and be like, oh yeah, I was working on that. Oh, I totally forgot about that goal. And so for me, talking to somebody or keeping something consistently in front of me where I'm, oh, okay, this is what I'm working on, and checking it off and seeing it in my planner has helped me move along much farther in the things that I want to accomplish.
For sure. Donut?
Yeah, for me, I feel like I have so many good ideas that I will go from one good idea to the next good idea. And so when I am accountable to someone, it makes me really stop and say, okay, I'm a person of my word. So am I willing to do this one out to fruition? Is this something I'm going to complete? Because I won't say I'm going to do it unless I'm going to complete it. So it's so helpful for me to have an outside person that I've given my word to.
For sure. And that's one thing that I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to be that person for so many. As a mentor, that's like our purpose, is to give them somebody to talk to and to check in with every week for at least a little bit until they can do it on their own or they find somebody who can be that accountability person. But yeah, no, and I definitely have way too many good ideas, which is probably why I haven't followed through on learning how to play the piano yet. Because I've been married for a year and almost, and we definitely could have gotten a lot farther than we are. Anyways, one last quote to share. Would someone be willing to read that?
Since my hand's still up, I'll read it.
Perfect. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't take it down. Life is full of difficulties, some minor and others more of a serious nature. There seems to be an unending supply of challenges for one and all. Our problem is that we often expect instantaneous solutions to such challenges, forgetting that frequently the heavenly virtue of patience is required. President Thomas S. Monson.
And I find that to be incredibly true. As a brand new college student, my first semester, there was a lot of things that didn't quite go exactly the way I thought college would. I almost failed one class and I ended up dropping another class because I had procrastinated and the deadlines came due and I couldn't write to save my life. And after dropping it, I felt like a failure. But I have since taken that class again, done not so great, and had to take it again to actually get the credit for it. But that time I did really well and really, really enjoyed the learning that I gained from that experience and the patience that I have from that and from learning how to work with people in general. And it still is something that I forget frequently. I have to remember. Anyways, I hope that these principles and these ideas will help you as you continue on in your life, and I hope you can actually accomplish your dreams. Get those goals accomplished. And I believe that all of my contact information has been shared with you. Please reach out to me if you have any questions or thoughts. I am on Instagram and Facebook. My email, I check probably more than once a day. And I'm happy to answer any texts as well. So just let me know. And I hope that this has helped you guys. It's definitely helped me.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.